We're just normal men.
What do you mean, normal men?
We're just innocent men.
Welcome to the Red Ass Podcast, your home for Aggie sports, barbecue, music, and much more. And now your hosts, Rob White and Roy May.
Howdy, guys. Welcome back to the Red Ass Podcast. Today is Tuesday, November 5th. Remember the 5th of November, the gunpowder treason and plot. Let's not forget that. But I am Rob White, fighting Texas Aggie class of 2014.
Dork. I'm Roy May, fighting Texas Aggie class 2015, and it is obviously an incredibly big day.
It is.
All playoff results come out, or at least the first rankings, pardon me.
The biggest polls of the day.
Dude. I'm going to talk about that on the fan show. Like, they could have moved it around. They could have done anything, and they were just like, screw it.
No, we're gonna do everything on Tuesday. I mean, I'm going to get a dentist appointment, which I just went ahead and took care of. I'm going, elections going on, and we're going to have polling for the college football playoff. I mean,
I've got a coaching call today. Like, I got to work on my business plan. Like, it's a lot. It's a super Tuesday.
It is a super, super Tuesday. I'm glad I already got out and voted beforehand, so we got that out of the way.
I voted last week.
Yeah, that was like the one thing I wanted to make sure was off my plate. Nothing to worry about on that front.
And, yeah, Megan went to vote this morning. It took her a little while.
Well, it was funny because I had a lot of people telling me ahead of time. They were like, now Tuesday's not going to be that bad. There's so many people voting ahead of time. I'm like, I don't think you're anticipating how crazy the turnout for this thing is going to be. I mean, I don't think we've seen turnout numbers quite like when it all said and done. I don't think we're going to see turnout numbers quite like this for a very long time. It's truly a massive, massive election for those who've been paying attention. So. It's going to be interesting. Obviously, we don't talk politics on this podcast.
Hell no.
But what we do is we do encourage y'all to go out and
vote. Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
Absolutely.
Yeah. If you've not voted yet, make sure you find time to do it today. I think you got to be in line by like 6.
Right. And this whole podcast will be well out before then. So hopefully you'll have a chance to hear us if you haven't already voted. Get out there and take care of it.
Right.
But yeah.
We got a real dude. It has been an absolute brutal 48 hours for Aggie athletics.
I was about to say, I was like, this is probably, I can't remember a time when we've seen Aggie athletics go through this rough of a patch outside of obviously what we saw this summer with baseball losing the Natty and then Sauce jumping ship for Austin, you know? So I really can't think of a 24, 48 hour short time span where Aggie athletics went on such a 180 in terms
just
of how things
circled the bowl, just circling the bowl this past 2 days. Yeah. So, and we'll get into obviously, the South Carolina game, but last night, Aggie basketball, men's basketball goes on the road, dropped a close one to UCF. That women, was tough to watch, man. They looked good and then they didn't.
Yep. And then women lost, unfortunately, as well.
And the women lost to a team that you're not supposed to lose to.
A directional A&M school, which is
not, we lost within the system.
Yeah, not good. And then on top of that, just not to pile on it, but if you saw what happened with Aggie soccer, you'll lose in the first round to Georgia and
season's over.
And it continues to drive the question home about Aggie soccer and what the future of that may look like. And I'm a bit of an apologist. I love Coach G. I always have. I mean, I'm about to say he is the definition of this soccer program, but I think it's important to also recognize results. And when the rest of the athletic department's trying to move in a certain direction and a certain sport that has been very prominent on campus is starting to fall a bit by the wayside, it may be time to kind of eyeball and see what needs to be done with the program.
Yeah, there's probably going to be quite a bit of reassessment on the program in the offseason. Men, the men just, they had it and they blew it. That's a tough loss. It's on the road. I mean, I like what Buzz does as far as the non-conference stuff. After getting bit a couple of years ago, I understand it. I don't even want to get into that right now. It's still football season and it's the first game of the year. I'm not going to read too much into it.
Yeah. No, no jumping all the way off the boat this early, obviously, with basketball. I mean, we've seen obviously what happened with football, right? You lose the first game and everybody was losing it. And all of a sudden you started picking up. It's a long season. And I
Well,
know.
both teams traditionally don't get, they're not early starters.
No,
I
absolutely.
more concerning, I think, is the women's basketball loss. I
Yeah.
mean, losing by 6 points, to A&M, that's just brutal. They've got maybe a little bit of soul searching to do. That's just not a game you lose. But let's get to the stinker in the room. We'll talk about Saturday.
Let's do it.
Yay. I don't think I've ever seen, ever, well, at this level, tackling as poor as it was on Saturday. And they came out, what was it, 25 missed tackles?
Yeah, PPF reported 25 missed tackles, the most missed tackles in a game this season, second only to Notre Dame, which was 19.
Well, yeah, no, it was the most.
All right,
Notre Dame second.
yeah, that's what I meant. Like Notre Dame second at 19. Yeah, this was the most missed tackles. I don't know what on earth happened on that front. I mean, frankly.
I don't think 25 is an accurate number. I watched that game with my own eyes. I saw 25 in one run, is what it felt like.
I mean, broken tackles, missed tackles, and I understand. With, let me just go ahead and stress this: with Sellers, good quarterback, no question about it, but. You're talking as far as a build. I mean, this guy is pretty much a tight end in terms of a lot of his build as a runner. So I don't think we were gearing up with the right mindset to go tackle this guy. I don't know what was going on.
Well, and that's what's upsetting is yeah, I don't get it. And the back broke plenty too. Don't get me wrong. It wasn't just Sellers, but
Sure.
you look at how many plays we had him in the backfield and how many plays we had him at the line of scrimmage. And just to let that go, the amount of yards after contact is despicable. It was just absolutely disgusting. So that entire defensive performance was just kind of shit, quite frankly. To not get home multiple times against one of the worst teams in the nation and giving up sacks.
Yep.
And to not just live with him on the ground and to give up that many points to South Carolina is that I wouldn't want to watch film this week, quite frankly. I wouldn't want to be in those film rooms.
No, I certainly wouldn't either. I mean, you gotta think, man. Just looking at our numbers here, and based honestly just on the game that we watched. I mean, you can go through the numbers all you want, but I mean, frankly, if you look at just what we saw on the field, and we were all watching the game. It was just a piss poor effort. And despite all of that, you had this game tied at halftime in a game that, frankly, you should not have been tied. I mean, we shouldn't have even been in the game at that stage. But South Carolina kept giving us opportunities to be in it, and we wouldn't take advantage. We would
Well,
not take advantage.
you talk about being tied at halftime. It shouldn't have been tied at halftime
Shouldn't have been, no.
because that final drive of the half to let South Carolina score an answer was unacceptable
Yeah, inexcusable.
at every single level. The penalties we started this year talking about it. We've talked about it all year long, and here it is again. We're rearing its ugly head and stupid penalties on top of that. Now, don't get me wrong, the refs weren't great. I've never seen a left tackle false start so many times without it getting called. That's something that if you watch the Monday night game last night, the Chiefs right tackle does it too, and it's a trend that's really started in football quite a bit. And it's garbage, and it needs to be emphasized. Like it needs to be emphasized with the conference. With it needs to be emphasized across the game. This getting an early start, like you get an early step, to get back in your block. Like that's how that's not a false start. I have no idea. Now that said, I'm not blaming this game on the refs at all.
No.
I mean, there were some pretty egregious non-calls, but.
No question, but and I like I said, this is not going to turn into a kind of a Missouri situation. We're not going to sit here and continue to throw shade at the refs. I mean, at the end of the day, for us, it was a situation, as I was telling a guy before, they didn't need help, but they got it anyway, as from the officials.
Yeah.
The fact was, they were doing their job. Granted, I think you have, and I understand the whole, oh, there's holding on every play. Yeah, I get that. But there were some egregious holds, of course. There were some egregious missed calls on false starts. And the fact that there were no called penalties in the first half was absolutely abysmal,
Yeah.
from an officiating standpoint. However,
Yeah,
you.
that's unreal that there's no like yeah, because they played a perfect game the first half. It's just laughable.
They absolutely didn't. But at the same time, as a team in our position, good teams lose, unfortunately, with officiating being involved. Great teams win in spite of that. And we did not do that on Saturday. This team did not play like a great team Saturday. And it showed on the scoreboard at the end of the day, too.
Well, they couldn't overcome their own mistakes, quite frankly. I will say though, like one of the runs, it was a touchdown run. I want to say it was like maybe 30-yard run, something like that. It was off left tackle. There were three holds on one play.
Right.
Again, there's holding. I get it. There's always holding. That, come on, man. But
Yeah.
again, the missed
Pretty
tackles
egregious.
was terrible. I thought the play calling offensively was kind of crap, quite frankly.
Yeah.
I was not overly impressed with their defensive line, but we play called into their strengths.
We did. And not to mention, we're in a situation where you're fourth and one. And you've got that big line, twice where you have
Twice.
fourth and one, and you just go straight at them. When you have mobility and speed, you take advantage of it. And I understand that obviously a lot of dynamics in this game changed, of course, when we lost Moss, unfortunately. And him being out for the rest of the season is just a brutal hit. But
You ain't lying.
yeah, but with all that considered, I don't think Daniels really had himself all that bad of a game, really. If you look, and frankly, if you look at Marcell Reed, anybody who's pointing at him and saying that he was the problem in the game, they weren't
Oh no.
watching.
No. No, he had a good game. He didn't have a great game. He had a good game.
And
What
give
I
me.
don't get is in those short yard situations, like why don't we have like Albert Regis in the backfield. Just give him the ball and put Theo in front of him in some sort of power eye and just cram it down their throat.
Right.
If you're going to go for it on fourth and one or less, and you're going to go between the guards and your quarterback is kind of built like a pencil a little bit, and the back behind him ain't huge enough to provide a big push, then you need to have some sort of absolute big package. Run a power T. I don't give a shit. But put some big boys back there. You seen Ole Miss, they do it.
Oh yeah. Well, and
Ole Miss has got a huge, like a huge kind of, it's almost like a goal line package, really. But if
right.
you're gonna go for it, like you said, either utilize your speed, or if you're gonna go between the guards, you gotta do it
Personnel.
right.
Yep. Need
And so
personnel.
that was upsetting because there's just no reason to run it the way we did. I don't have a problem with going for it, quite frankly. Maybe not the second time. But I don't have a problem with going for it. I really don't.
No, me either. I think a lot of times when it does come down to it in the game of college football, obviously you control the game by holding on to the football. So it makes sense that you continue to move forward in a game where South Carolina has proven that your defense needs rest, needs to reassess themselves, come out and try better the second time around. When you're having these three and outs, it puts way more pressure on your defense. We saw it all throughout the Kevin Sumlin years where we would have a case where it's like, okay, defense is out on the field for the vast majority of the game because we were scoring too quickly on the offensive side of the ball, and it made the defense tired. Like, time possession is a big deal. And this was a game where we frankly did not do our job on that front either. And our defense was extremely whipped. It was a tough game.
What I really don't understand, one of the things I don't understand, let's put it that way. We know what Colin Klein's offense looks like. If you go back and watch the highlights from him at K-State, you know what he's trying to run. We have multiple big tight ends. I cannot for the life of me figure out why they're not a bigger part of the game plan.
I see, and me personally, I've always been a big tight end guy. Always. I think that's such a underutilized position at times, but when it's used and used properly, it's incredibly effective.
Well, and I get that where, obviously a handful of games in with Reed as the starter. But lest we forget, he's still a redshirt freshman, and tight
Right.
ends are a freshman QB's best friend.
They are.
And so I don't for the life of me understand why we don't do it, especially when we have wide receivers that really can't create that separation. You know, we don't have anybody like truly dynamic on the outside. And so why aren't we incorporating tight ends into this more? So I just it's confusing, it's frustrating. There's a bunch of head scratcher kind of stuff from Klein so far. Like I'm not sitting here burning anything down by any means. It's just some of these small things. I don't get why we're not incorporating more, considering like what we have. I mean, we got Trey Watson, we got Thor. I mean,
Thor.
there's two right there,
Yeah,
right?
and Thor's been used in the past to good effect, and we haven't seen him. So it makes you ask the questions. Yeah, I mean, you do need to dynamically assess your team as time goes on and play to their strengths. You know, where you're sitting right now, obviously, with Le'Veon Moss being out and for the rest of the season. And frankly, with the running game looking like it is at this stage, I mean, if we're dealing with Marcell Reed being in the game, all of a sudden you're rush options at this point are Amari Daniels, Marcell Reed, EJ Smith, and maybe Terry Bussey if we can get him in and you can utilize him properly.
Yeah,
But
Bussy's still a freshman too, so there's
yeah,
gonna be stuff he can do and stuff he can't do.
exactly.
But you don't have anybody that was like Moss. I mean, Moss just he runs angry. He's
No,
kind of a
and
bruiser.
but being
Daniels will do it, but it's not. I don't think it's sustainable. Like as the
no.
number, I don't think Daniels can necessarily hold up as kind of that bruising back.
Especially with what we have left on the schedule. I mean, you know, you've got three games that you have to play out. And I mean, with one of those road games at Auburn, I'm not going to sit here and say that Auburn's, you know, world beaters by any means, but it's a road game in the SEC and anything can happen.
Yeah, you got Amari and you got Smith. Reuben Owens may, you know, if this apparently, it, you know, we're gonna have to have an extended schedule for him to come back. And I understand it. Like, you can't just throw him out there. You just can't.
No.
And then I guess maybe you're hoping one of your walk-on backs, you know, can be that, you know, have one of those, you know, a couple of games, few games where even if it's just like 5 or 6 carries, you know, they provide something. They provide a spark. So the play calling is gonna have to change given what little options we have left.
It's true. I mean, outside of really Marcell Reed just turning into an outstanding passer, and like when I say outstanding, I mean like next level passer, and that's just not a realistic thing to expect out of a freshman this year
Well,
with what
but
we
even
got.
then you have receivers that aren't getting open, aren't finishing their routes. So
Right.
it's even if I mean there's only so tight a window you can squeeze a ball into, all right?
Sure.
If they're not open, they're not open, and you can't force them open with a throw because that's when you start throwing picks. And so it's just it, but it's not Marcell, you know. It's going to be interesting moving forward, and unfortunately, New Mexico State's not going to tell us anything.
No, New Mexico State's a get right game, and frankly, you have a get right week going on right now.
Well. And I don't know if it's a get right game. I think it may be a we need to figure some stuff out game.
That'd be
Like
nice too.
we got to
I
figure
mean,
out who we have and what we can do with them, you know, against live competition, even if it's New Mexico State.
well, and I think that's an okay deal, right? Because you've got New Mexico State coming in, and this is a team which, you know, in previous seasons, as a lower tiered team, you'd look at and say, keep an eye on them, right? Because they had been doing really well, especially with Pavia on staff last couple of seasons. But that's not this New Mexico State team.
No, they're
You
bad.
does a you bring them in, and yeah, if it's kind of an experimental game where we start testing out some stuff, I don't hate that idea.
I think honestly, I think that might be what needs to happen.
Yeah.
I know you're not going to be able, you're not going to install a whole new offense in 2 weeks,
No.
but you've got to start adding in some wrinkles that play to the strengths of the players that you have left, quite frankly. I mean, you're down two running backs. You're on a different quarterback, so completely different skill set, but you still got tight ends. You got wide receivers who don't really create separation. You know, a bunch of them from time to time just like to give up on their routes, which
Right.
is so frustrating. But what they do well, I will say this, the wide receivers block very well. They're pretty selfless to
Yeah.
that extent. So, but yeah, you got to figure out a scheme that can play to the strengths you have left. For the defense, I don't know. Like, everybody's like, man, just flush it and go to the next. I don't think so, man. I think they need to get absolutely harped on and dogged
I mean,
for that
just
performance.
reinforce fundamentals. I mean, at the end of that game, with 25 statistical missed tackles in the game, you have to reassess who you are as a player. Like, do you understand the fundamentals of getting a man on the ground? Are you leaning too much on these arm tackles? Are you trying to go for the hit stick and missing on a hit? You know, what is going on here? Are you over pursuing? Do you need to reevaluate how you're attacking the ball carrier? Whatever that may look like. But fact was, we weren't wrapping up and putting a dude on the ground. That did not happen much in this game.
I mean, this is almost, because I know, like, with a bye week, you have a couple of hard practices, but the rest of it is just kind of recoup and you start thinking about installing some game plans. But I know that first week is you hit it hard for 2 days, but then the rest of the week is pretty chill, just because everybody's dinged up at this point of the year, right?
True. And the last thing we need to do is overexert somebody in practice, and all of a sudden we're down another player. We don't need
It would be our luck that over the next 2 weeks something happens.
that. We don't
But
need that.
what needs to happen, honestly, is for 2 days, I would do nothing but fundamental tackling drills, full speed tackling drills. And I know that, football's a rough game and it's a full contact sport. You might get some injuries, but it's just, I don't see how you can look at that game and just say, I'll flush it, we'll go into the next, we expect them to be better. Well, maybe we need to get in their heads, though. Like, we're not just going to flush this, right? Like, we're going to work on what we saw on tape, because what we saw on tape was unacceptable. That's not Aggie football, and that's not Aggie defense.
No. And I will give, full credit to South Carolina for coming in and doing what they did. I mean, you went out there and you did your absolute best job to win the game that was presented ahead of you. And you took advantage of those situations. You walk away with what ends up being a very big win for your program. In a season where they have struggled quite a bit in these top level games, they finally got one going for them. And, which is.
Yeah, I
Nobody
mean,
was sitting. I mean, none of us were sitting back saying South Carolina was going to be a cakewalk. Absolutely none of us were. We knew what this team was,
they should
and
have
they
beat
finally got a
LSU.
chance to show it.
Yeah, they hung with Bama. They should have beat LSU.
Right. And that's the thing that cracks me up more than anything, at least with the Twitter crowd, has been the LSU people being like, beating South Carolina, I guess it's not for everybody, talking about Aggies. And I'm like, you needed how many penalties to get through that game? And then we still whipped your ass. Take a back seat,
Yeah,
buddy.
LSU Twitter needs to sit down.
They need to reassess themselves, because guess what? They're not exactly in any better of a position right now. Because
Well,
we're still top of the league.
they may want to think about who they're playing this week before they start running their mouths.
Yeah, because let's face it, Alabama is one of those boogeymen for LSU traditionally. And
Well, we're going to get to that game.
we will, I'm sure. That
Yeah,
much I have no doubt.
that is 100% one of the five. There's actually, it's a really great slate of games this
It
week.
is.
Top 25, like, as far as the top 25 is concerned, there's a lot of really good, there's a lot of really good matchups,
Oh,
quite
yeah.
frankly. But yeah, I mean, I don't know what else to say about South Carolina game. I mean, is it a blip? Is it,
See, it's tough to call it a blip for me just because of the personnel we ended up losing. Like I said, I think with obviously losing Moss, that was a big deal for this offense.
No, I mean, just the performance. Like, that's, yeah, I mean, maybe it's indicative
Performance
of what
wise.
the offense is moving forward, but at the same time, like we said, now you got to ch start changing your game plan a little bit. You've got to work to your strengths,
Right.
whatever those may be.
It's a deviation.
Yeah. Defensively, I was just flabbergasted at the performance. So,
Yeah, it wasn't what we were looking for.
no, that would be putting it nicely.
That would be putting it very nicely. But so I mean, going into this past week, we did have some picks and things. I think that's probably a
Yeah,
good place to go.
we both sucked it up this week. Because we picked the same across the board. So we went 2-3 this week. Both of us
Yeah.
did. Ohio State, Penn State's got some questions, man. What's crazy is, Penn State's not a bad football team, but their fans are getting kind of sick of it, man.
Yeah. I mean, I understand Penn State's frustration. I mean, if you look at what Penn State is and what Texas A&M is, there's a lot of similarities. The beauty of their situation is they're in a league where most of the competition doesn't really match up to the skill set they have, but you're not able to break past,
The one wall you got to break past.
And once again, you lose to Ohio State at home on a whiteout. I understand it was at 11 o'clock, but I mean, you were in the game, you fought for it, but at the end of the day, Ohio State walks away with another win.
Yeah, it wasn't a bad game,
No.
but just Ohio State showed that they're the better team, and they, they finished, and Penn State didn't.
Right.
And if you look at well, but if you look at the game too, one of those touchdowns wasn't offensive.
No.
So that there's I get the rumblings, but it's another one of those be careful what you wish for kind of things.
Right. I mean, because let's face it, Franklin is a great coach. And if you replace him, is that guy going to get you where you're already at? Question that gets asked, right? I mean, it was like, I mean, it's like looking at RC at A&M, right? RC Slocum, phenomenal coach. And I understand that he was kind of trailing down a little bit there towards the end. But even then, one of the greatest coaches in the history of this school, he just didn't quite get you to where you needed to go. Where'd you go? Franchione, and have that work out.
Please don't.
Like I said, it's just one of those situations. You have to analyze it and be very objective about these things. Like personally, in just in our current situation, would I change anything as far as like the fact that we have Elko currently? Absolutely not. I think those guys are going to be on a good track down the line. But in terms of this game, though, I understand the frustrations with Franklin just because he's not getting it done for him again.
Yeah, this is they have a whole lot of evidence regarding Franklin and getting over the Ohio State bump. So, Ole Miss at Arkansas, boy, did we whiff on this one.
No
Man,
kidding.
Ole Miss looked like world beaters. I mean,
All of a
well, and
sudden.
Arkansas looked like they forgot how to play football, quite frankly.
Yeah, I don't know what was going on with Arkansas in this game. I mean, you have Ole Miss come out and put out four touchdowns in the second quarter alone, three in the third quarter. I mean, the whole middle section of this game, they pretty much dominated
Yeah,
that.
didn't Dart have what 500 yards and six touchdowns, something like that?
515 yards, six touchdowns, went 25 for 31 on the game. My goodness gracious. I mean, they couldn't
That's
stop them.
that is straight up video game numbers. And again, like I get that Ole Miss, they're not chopped liver, but man, you had Ole Miss coming to town, Arkansas, you're feeling good as a program, and Sam Pittman just does what Sam Pittman does.
I mean, Watkins goes eight receptions on the game, five touchdowns, eight receptions, 254 yards receiving.
And I don't know at the Arkansas depth chart. I don't know if maybe they were, down their depth chart in the secondary or what, but that's just
Inexcusable.
that's like 25 missed tackles bad.
It really is. I mean, you look at the final score, 63-31. If that happened to us against South Carolina, I would be asking a ton of questions.
Yeah, well, and again, this, Arkansas, a little bit like Penn State in the sense that they've got a whole lot of data on their head coach at this point.
Yep.
So we both missed on that one. Minnesota at Illinois. This was a really entertaining game.
It was.
And oddly enough, Vegas was right on the button, man.
Good for them, you know?
Yeah.
Clearly they
So
know something.
Illinois draw. I was really surprised. I didn't think Minnesota was going to come in there and play that well. So kudos to them. All right, Illinois still having a good season, but that one I think kind of hurts a little bit.
I mean, you're sitting at 6-6 and 3 now, 3-3 in Big Ten play. All of a sudden you're gonna be outside the top 25. Any and all hopes of making the playoff are gone. I
Gone.
mean, yeah, it's a tough deal. Tough sledding for Illinois. They've had a great season. And they still have a chance to, do some building for next year, but Minnesota coming up and biting them was a unexpected on our end. Obviously not for Vegas, but what are you gonna
They
do?
can, I mean, they can still make some noise. I think they're still a good enough team. I'm not sure what their schedule, what they have left on their schedule, but yeah, that was just a little disappointing. Air Force and Army. One of the ugliest games you'll ever see. Both teams had to start their backup quarterback. So when you have backup quarterbacks and triple option offenses, it turns into a miserable game to watch.
Which it was for good chunks of it. You're not wrong. We were watching the
100%.
lounge. Yeah,
100%. Because Army's quarterback, it doesn't matter that Air Force didn't have their starting quarterback. Air Force was 1-7 coming to this game. They're just not good this year.
Right.
But Bryson Daly for Army is he's at top of the nation for rushing touchdowns. And he's actually also throwing the ball. So,
Right.
but Army was able to do kind of what Army does, stick around, play really hard-nosed defense, little bend, don't break, but create turnovers. Would have been a little bit bigger score if it weren't for, again, some poor officiating. But that didn't, again, teams, really, and I'm not saying Army's great, but relative to Army, this is a great Army team. They were able to win despite some bad calls.
Right. And see, that's what you want to do. Like, you're in a situation where it's a little tougher, obviously, without your starting quarterback in the game, and you're having to fight you have to fight the bug as far as the officiating. But I mean, you have a running back that goes out there, with 22 carries, he goes 158 yards and gets two TDs. Like, that was a big,
Udo's a
big.
bad dude, man.
Yeah.
And oh man, I just had some in my brain. Oh, it was hilarious. There was a PI on Army, defensive PI on Army, and both the announcers were like, "Oh, I don't know about that. Let's bring in the rules guy." And the rules guy's like, "Oh, I don't know about that one." Like, you never hear the rule guy come in and be like, "Oh yeah, they got that wrong." Like, he just straight up, it just like shit on the refs. You never hear the rules guy coming to do that. And he was like, "Yeah, I don't really know what he was seeing there."
See
So,
that, man, we need more of that, honestly. We really
right.
do. We need more of that. Like I said, we've talked about we talked about officiating integrity last week, and we've talked about it many, many other times on this podcast. But yeah, there were some, once again, another week, another round of egregiously bad calls.
Well, and what I don't get is like, I
Right.
get that coaches have to tread lightly just because they don't want to get fined. I understand that.
Right.
But these rules guys that come in,
Yeah.
they're not paid by the league. They're paid by the network. I think one network just needs to grab a dude that comes in every time there's a bad call. It's his job to be like, "I'm gonna tell you why this was a bad call, and it's a garbage call by the linesman or the back judge," and just shit
Right.
on the refs and just say what we're all thinking.
Yeah, I mean, like a Pat McAfee type that can
Yeah.
go in there and start calling out the officiating. One really interesting point on that I really wanted to look at was in the Tennessee-Kentucky game. I'm not sure if you saw this, but on the sideline where a Kentucky player went out of bounds, Tennessee player literally shoves the dude. He's already well out of bounds, knocks him on the ground, no call. Like clearly in front of God and everybody.
No, I don't
And
think I saw that one.
oh, it was really, really bad. Like, Tennessee player on the sideline that a Kentucky guy kind of runs onto the sideline to get out of bounds, and the guy on the sideline just threw him on the ground.
See, I
Nothing.
think like do it like Mystery Science Theater 3000 style. Like
Oh,
have
that'd be
it
amazing. Riff
have a
tracks? Riff tracks for college football? Oh my God, please.
dude, just add one person to each broadcast, and he can do it virtually. You don't have to pay him to be in the booth. And every time there's a bad call, just let him pipe up and be like, "What the hell was that?"
I love that. That's
But
amazing.
he has to be knowledgeable. He has to be able to tell you why it was a bad call.
Right. Yeah. None of this Homer stuff like, oh, that was a hold.
Yeah,
That
we don't need some
was
dude that calls into Paul Feinbaum to take this role. Like, it needs to be somebody knowledgeable but has no ties to any of the conferences, so he can just absolutely crap on the bad calls. I would love that. Let's bring in our rules expert, Jim Tersor. Yeah, that was an egregious hold. I can't believe he missed it. I'm not sure why he saw his job.
Back to you, Kirk.
So, and then obviously, Ags, we went over that. I don't want to get into that.
Yeah, been there, done that, got the t-shirt. Moving on.
Yeah, didn't want the t-shirt.
Can we sell it?
So I do want to kind of run through a couple of games this weekend because I just want to kind of go through the conference and then we'll get into
Yeah.
our picks.
Sure.
I've got one, two, three. Three of our five picks this week are not SEC.
Okay.
So,
Good.
I obviously I want to get into just a couple of games. So, Florida on the road at Texas. Not sure what's happening with DJ Lagway. Apparently, he's carted off the field, but apparently Napier's saying he might be able to play. I don't know if this is gamesmanship or what, because obviously the SEC has to put out you have to put out your injury report now, right?
Right.
But I don't know if this is gamesmanship or not. If they're down to their third string quarterback, then a 21 and a half point line makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah.
If Lagway plays, maybe they can cover. But just Florida's not a very good team. But
Yeah.
Florida's playing better.
They were.
They're playing better. They hung in there with Georgia and Carson Beck. We'll get into him because we're going to pick that game. But I mean, really poor throws. But the other question is, did Florida put him in the situation to make those bad decisions? Is Florida, it feels like Florida's playing better. So I could see Florida covering the spread in this one. I can't in a million years think that Florida is going to go into Austin and beat the Sips.
I certainly don't think so at this stage, especially without Legway. I mean, I understand that they're saying that, well, he may be in the game. In situations like that, you're taking a guy out for a week. I highly doubt you see him that next week. I just don't see a world where he's playing in this game. And I hate to say it like this, but I may have to say it. Texas getting off scot-free again. They're gonna have to face a third string quarterback from them, probably. Just another one of those situations. But what are you
So
gonna do?
another game real quick. We're not picking this one, but it's real close spread and kind of, this feeds kind of into us a little bit. South Carolina's on the road at Vandy. So this is an interesting one for me. South Carolina's 5-3, Vandy 6-3. Vandy's ranked, just barely, but Vandy's ranked. Because Pavia's hilarious. We need South Carolina to win.
Ideally, yes.
And South Carolina is a favorite on the road in this one.
They are.
I've watched a little bit of Vandy here and there. They're not a bad team, but I think this kind of goes back to the talent issue. And I know that they want, I mean, they beat Bama, right? They obviously the talent discrepancy between those two rosters is massive. But if the South Carolina team that showed up last weekend shows up in Nashville, Vanderbilt's going to get housed.
Yeah, I mean, Vanderbilt's one of those teams I think goes as Pavia goes. And if he's in it and he's really hopping and rocking and rolling, they're going to be fine. If.
He looks really dinged up, like having a hard time staying in games. Like I this could be a game where he gets knocked out and stays out.
Well,
And if Pavia's not in.
especially with as good of a D line as South Carolina brings to the table.
Yes.
I know we said that we weren't overly impressed with it,
They're
but
really good. I just
they're
we
good.
played directly into their strengths. I mean,
Right.
you make anybody look good when when you play calling like that, and decision making.
Anyway,
But
back to this game.
yeah. Shit.
But yeah, South Carolina Vanderbilt. I mean, it's one of those. I'm with you. I think South Carolina wins that one. At least he
I
does.
yeah, I think they win. I think they cover. Pavia just he's so dinged up, and you gotta, kudos for the heart for playing hurt. But if Pavia goes down, it could get ugly. Let's see here. Another one. State on the road at Tennessee. Tennessee's gonna absolutely roll state, obviously. Oklahoma on the road at Missouri. Missouri's a 1-point favorite. So this could be the pillow fight of the week.
Crazy to think.
So, but what's crazy is you think back to the Big Eight days, and this used to be a massive game, right? Oklahoma, Missouri.
The biggest matchup between these two, I can vividly remember. If you can rewind your head back, 07, the Big 12 title game in 2007,
Oh,
when
yeah.
everything was absolutely crazy. Missouri's coming off of a huge win at what was number one or number two Kansas at that point. I can't remember.
Yep.
They were number one and Kansas was number two, or one way or the other.
Was that
Missouri
Chase
wins it.
Daniels? Was that the quarter? Was he,
I
or was it
think he might have been.
before that?
I don't remember. But they win that game, go into the Big 12 title game, or not, yeah, it would have been Big 12 title game against Mizzou, and proceeded to completely demolish them. And it was like the biggest letdown for Mizzou as far as an athletic department in years, because you were number one. You win that game, you're going to the national title game.
What a time when Missouri and Kansas were both battling for number one.
Insane, isn't it?
Ugh. All right, well, let's
And then
get
you
into
let
our
LSU win the whole damn thing as a two-loss team, because
gross,
why not?
gross,
Anyway.
gross. Okay, so let's get into our picks.
right.
We'll start off with now what looks to be a really big one. UGA, number two, UGA is going on the road to number 16, Ole Miss. Georgia's 2.5-point favorites on the road. This is an elimination game for Ole Miss. They're at 7-2. So Ole Miss is going to be playing with their hair on fire. All right.
Well, and honestly, the way that Beck's been playing.
Yeah. What Carson Beck showed in the cocktail party, wow. That just and he just looked lost. Like literally his face. He was like, I don't know what it is. I don't know what happened.
He had Eli Manning face in
Yes,
every sense of the word. He just looked
perfect.
like.
That's perfect. Yeah, Eli face. He looked like he didn't know where he was.
No, and
So.
I'll be, I will be completely honest on this game. I straight up think Ole Miss wins it, and I think they end up blowing them out a little bit late.
Well,
I legitimately think that because Ole Miss has proven that if they can break you defensively, you're toast. And the way that you've been playing offensively at Georgia, if you're giving up possessions via turnover, Ole Miss is going to punish the shit out of it.
yeah, but Georgia beat Florida despite Carson Beck. See, that's the one thing you do have to remember, though. Georgia was still able to win against a Florida team that's playing better. That Florida was 4-3 going into that, right? This isn't Florida State, it's Florida.
No, but Ole Miss is better than Florida, I would argue.
Well, right.
And it's
So
at their
if you can
place.
avoid, right, but if you can avoid the mistakes kind of thing.
Right. It's a, yeah, if you can avoid the mistakes, I like to see Georgia win that game. But knowing what we've seen from Georgia.
What's bring up the box score for Arkansas real quick with Ole Miss.
Yeah, let
I'm
me
curious. I'm
get.
curious about how Arkansas ran the ball relative to, do they run
Not.
more? Did they pass more?
Not.
Because they put up 30 some odd points.
Yeah, no, they didn't do overly great from what I remember seeing. But
I don't
let
know
me.
much about the Ole Miss defense because if Georgia can just run the ball down their throat, you don't have to worry about Carson Beck.
True. Let me get this pulled up real quick. We're
Yeah.
it's being
Because
looped.
I like my feelings on while you're pulling that up, my feelings on it are is Georgia just they're still finding ways to win, right?
They are. So looking at our numbers here, so Ole Miss rushing yards on the day came out
No,
to
no, no,
about.
no. I want to know Arkansas stats. I'm not worried about Ole Miss's stats.
Okay.
I want to know
So
like relative to Ole Miss
Arkansas,
defense.
Arkansas passed for 365 yards. They only ran for 127.
So they ran for 127 in a
Yep.
game that. They'd had to pass.
Right.
So you can run on Ole Miss.
Sure.
Yeah, even when you didn't. I mean, I guarantee you Arkansas was just letting it loose at that point because they were down so far.
Arkansas had three backs that were averaging over 4 to 5 yards a carry, which is not a bad place to be.
Yeah, and so Georgia can minimize Carson Beck's mistakes by not letting him throw the ball. So if you can run against this
Yeah.
Ole Miss team, so that's kind of that would be my curiosity. If Georgia can really commit to the ground game, keep the passes short and simple for Carson Beck,
Yeah.
I've got Georgia in this game. I think Georgia will just kind of overpower Ole Miss.
Okay.
I know what we just saw at Ole Miss, but Georgia just keeps finding ways to win, and they after a terrible terrible first half basically,
Right.
Georgia still almost beat Alabama and coming in. Coming from a mile behind. So Georgia can do it offensively. I'm going to take Georgia in this.
Yeah, go for it. I mean, I'm going to stick with my pick on Ole Miss strictly because, once again, I think there's a handful of factors going their direction with this game, just personally.
Do we know what time that game is? Let me see.
2:30. 2:30
It's a 2:30 game.
game, so
Well, I
prime.
like that. I
And
like that for Georgia.
yeah, I mean, it could
Because
be. It could be
nighttime
worse.
in Oxford gets a little weird.
It does. Like I said, we'll see how it shakes. Ole Miss traditionally actually has had a lot of their wins against top level teams. A lot of their wins have come at that 2:30 slot, so I could totally see them winning this game. But yeah, I'll go ahead and go with Ole Miss. But I wouldn't be shocked to see Georgia pull it out by any means, because obviously Georgia's still Georgia in terms of like that's a very, very good football team. I just think
Yeah,
Ole
that
Miss,
Georgia pass defense is a little bit different than Arkansas.
they are. They are, absolutely.
All right, next in the shoot, we're just talking about this team. I am shocked by this line. Number 17, Iowa State goes to Kansas.
Yep.
Iowa State is only 3-point favorite on the road.
Neutral site game.
Oh, okay.
They're playing an Arrowhead.
Really?
Yep.
Huh.
Yep. Arrowhead at 2:30 p.m. Fox Sports 1. Very interesting.
Yeah, that doesn't change my pick though. I still don't understand why the spread's even this close though, quite frankly.
No, I mean, I would lean Iowa State in this game.
I've got Iowa State. I think Kansas has really been one of the bigger disappointments in the Big 12. I think a lot of people expected them to be a lot better, and they have just kind of been a clunk.
I mean, what they've won. Let me look at their recent games. I mean, they lost, yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games in a row before they finally turned around and got Houston. Then you turn around and you lose an absolute heartbreaker last week. Now, they did have a bye week before this game, but you lose an absolute heartbreaker a couple of weeks ago with going to Kansas State in the game that you were leading, and you end up dropping that one. So now you get to go play another traditional Big 8, Big 12 team in Iowa State. And you know the Cyclones are going to be looking to bounce back after a tough loss against Texas Tech this past weekend, which caught me by surprise.
Yeah, 100%. So I still
But
got, I grabbed the Cyclones in this one.
Cyclones.
Next, number 18, Army goes on the road to North Texas. Army is,
Army!
Army is
Army!
5.5 point favorites. North Texas is much better at liberal arts than they are at football. They
Amen to
basically
that.
haven't been good at football since Mean Joe Green was around, minus a couple of blip seasons.
Yeah.
For me, the question is whether or not Bryson Daly's healthy. Because UNT might be UNT, but they're probably still better than Air Force, one would think.
You would think.
And so if Bryson Daly is back, which I think to an extent, I get the feeling that maybe he could have gone last week against Air Force. And I know that it's a commander in chief, game. And I know it's a service academy, it's a big rivalry kind of with Air Force. Nobody really but are you keeping him healthy to go against the DY? Are you trying to pull him out? Just, let's let him get healthy. We believe in our backup. We believe because all our backup really has to do is turn around and hand it to Udoh anyways.
Yeah.
So although the backup made some throws, it was a fun game to watch. But kind of this is a big one. I know it's North Texas, but this is a big one for Army. Army still got Notre Dame looming on the schedule.
Yeah. And that's not
And
going to be an
so
easy game.
yes, you're gonna North Texas in theory should be a little bit bigger boys than what you're gonna see from Air Force Academy. So really good test on the road. I've got Army winning this.
Same.
Whether or not Bryson Daly is back. If Bryson Daly is back, I think they absolutely steamroll UNT. If it's the backup, then it'll probably be ugly like the Air Force game. But eventually the triple option just wears people out, man. If you don't
It
play
does.
against the triple option, it wears you out. And even when you're Air Force, you're not playing against the triple option. You do it in practice, but you also are scheming for regular offenses. So a
Right.
full game of having to go against a triple option, if you're not like absolutely worlds more athletic, it just beats you down, man.
It does. And that, yeah, so I'm with you there though. I think it's gonna be Army. Yeah, whether it is a blowout or if it's gonna be a more defensive fight, I'd still like Army in either match.
Yeah, I'd take a 1 point win. I wrote these down in the wrong order, so I'm going to skip. It doesn't matter to you that I'm saying skip because you can't see these.
It's all good.
Holy War, number 9, BYU goes to Utah. BYU is 4 point favorites. I would be Utah all day in this if Cam Rising was not out. However, the kid that they have in, Wilson, the kid that came in for, he's been playing well. They just dropped a heartbreaker to Cougar High last week.
Yeah.
I think Cougar High, I think it walked him off with a field goal. So tough loss, but big rivalry game. For those of y'all don't know, like these two
Huge.
schools do not like each other at all.
Well, you want to talk about one of my favorite like post game things I've ever seen. Well, one of the very end of a game that was so absolutely incredible was BYU Utah back in 2012, Holy War. I'm not sure if you remember that. Utah ends up rushing the field 3 times because they kept thinking that they had won the game. And then they'd have to force all the kids back on the sideline. And what it would happen was like, they would miss a field goal. And then all of a sudden there would be people on the field before the field goal even happened. So it would reset. They'd move it up. And then finally on the very last one, he kicks it. He's in prime field goal position to win the game, kicks the field goal, bounces off the upright, game over. Utah rushes the field again.
For the
It
third
was
time.
for a third time.
That is
If you
hilarious.
go look it up on YouTube, literally it's like 23 minutes for the last like 5 minutes of the game or less, or something crazy like that. It's
Five
insane.
seconds of the game. Just trying to get a
Yeah.
field goal off. This one's a tough one because this is a really good rivalry game. And this is one of those that the rivalry does matter more
It
than the
does.
rankings normally. I wish Cam Rising was in, but he's out for the year. He's probably gonna get like his ninth year of eligibility next year, whatever it is. I mean, that dude's gonna leave Utah with like 5 degrees. BYU's looked really good. I don't know. What are you thinking on this one?
You know, I mean, I'm having a hard time picking against BYU just because Utah has not impressed me a lot lately. I understand Wilson's been obviously getting a little better in there, but honestly, at this stage, I think it's going to be BYU. I think they're going to win. I know it's on the road. It's gonna be a tough game, but I think BYU wins.
Yeah. If Cam Rising was playing, I would probably think different on this. Well, and the spread would probably be different. Well, and Utah would be different.
Yeah.
I gotta take the Storm and Mormons in this one.
Storm and
I
Mormons. I
just
never heard that one before. I like it.
haven't even heard that one yet.
I hadn't heard that. That's pretty good.
So yeah, I think they do end up taking care of business in this game. And I get that they're in the Big 12, but quite frankly, they're winning games, all right. And some of these teams in the top 10 are there just by default because people keep losing.
Yeah, but they just keep winning though. Like they've
So
cruised through their schedule. They've done their
yeah,
job.
I mean they're the favorite to make the playoffs out of the Big 12. So
Yeah, well, yeah, right now for sure, especially with Iowa State dropping their game.
yeah, I would. I mean, don't get me wrong. I would love to see Utah win. I
Oh,
would. I just
sure. I mean, chaos. Big
if
fan of
Utah.
chaos.
Oh yeah, chaos always. But if Utah wins, it'll be because of something crazy, right? Because it's a
Right.
rivalry game. So it'll be like rivalry game craziness. I just.
Turnovers will play a factor. There's going to be some kind of craziness. That's just typical in these rivalry games.
Okay, then the last one. So number 11 Bama goes to number 14 LSU.
Night game.
Yeah, night game in Death Valley. Excuse me, Bama's favored by 3. So this game is always nutso, right? And it always means something. Like every year this game means something, right? And even though we've gotten away from having the West and East, this is still an important game. This is a de facto elimination game.
It is. Where they both stand. I mean, you've got two teams that already have one loss in the SEC play. What Alabama's. Yeah, this does serve as a de facto playoff game in terms of getting into the SEC title game. So you've got really in this matchup, Alabama just going off of matchup predictor. Obviously, that doesn't mean much, but Alabama sitting at damn near 70% favored in this game.
Yeah, which is crazy when you think it's only a 3-point spread. So for
Right.
me, I still like Bama. Look,
Yeah.
for us, LSU winning obviously looks a massive ton better. But DeBoer's not a bad coach, right? There's a reason he got hired at Bama.
No.
I think Bama looks at our game and what we were able to do against LSU when we brought in, the RPO. And I think Jalen Milroe is certainly capable of running. He's a
Yes.
big guy. So imagine the RPO, but you really got to wrap up, kind of Sellers style, right?
Well, and I'm wondering just how overhyped we're going to see LSU come into this game, especially with it being like, obviously game day's coming into town. That's always a big deal. You've got night game at LSU. You got to think that they're just going to be all kinds of hyped up, kind of similar to we were when they came to town. So at this point, yeah, LSU is definitely going to bring it in terms of energy. But I think if we're talking strictly on the field, I really like Alabama in this game. I really liked what I saw out of them in the Missouri game. As you go play them at home, very similar situation to us, and you did your job and you did it well. You beat them 34 nothing. Shut them out in an offense that's been touted as a pretty solid offense in Missouri, and you allowed 0 points. So, in this game, I got to go Alabama, I think.
Yeah, I've got Bama. Same.
Yep. Roll Tide. And what that'll do is obviously eliminate LSU from any kind of SEC title talk for the short term. And
Well, they'll be done,
yeah.
because there's just going to be too many teams with 2 losses.
It's like, did you see what Robert Behrens was talking about as far as his the hypothetical where you could see like an 8-way tie for first place?
Yes. Ugh. The fact that he sat down and did that math is hilarious to me.
And I mean, obviously there would be a lot of different things that would have to play out in terms of
No,
all the
it's
results.
like a million things have to play out. It's
Right.
hilarious.
It's like you need Texas to lose to Florida. Probably not happening. You're going to have Georgia losing to Ole Miss. Could happen. I picked it. We'll see. LSU losing to Bama. We both said that that's obviously a possibility. Tennessee losing to Georgia. Entirely probable. A&M losing to Texas. Also entirely probable. So you're sitting here in a situation where Texas, Georgia, LSU, Missouri, Ole Miss, Tennessee, Texas, and Texas A&M finish the season with an 8-way tie for first place.
Told there would be no math.
No math. I'm not going into the math on all that. I don't want to go digging through all of it, but it's just the SEC is probably about as wide open as we've seen it.
It is bonkers.
It's truly
This college
incredible.
football is bonkers this year, and it's fun. Bonkers is fun.
That's what we signed up for. So we said it earlier in the season. I was okay with like an 07 situation, things getting a little crazy, and it's not quite to that level by any means, but it could get a little wild after this weekend, especially if certain results play.
It kind of already is wild, but yeah.
Wilder.
Right.
So I did want to touch on a couple of questions, both of which we did receive from our buddy, Jive Coach G. He's back in the chat. Okay, let's see. I know you made a comment. Did you comment? I think he commented on mine personally. So let me go grab that.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. So, can you talk about how South Carolina is becoming a real rival now? One defeat is bad, but now two at Williams-Brice at night. Also, as an Ag that went there this weekend, I'll never go back. The stadium is decrepit. Fans are terrible. Got called a bunch of slurs. Traffic sucks.
Yeah, the stadium's not great. I love the town though. I love Columbia. It's a fun little town. It's just the stadium's not near anything, so it's really weird. I just can't see it as a rivalry. I'm sorry. I don't think that'll ever be a rivalry. It doesn't matter who wins and who loses. Like I can't see a rivalry with South Carolina.
No, if we're being perfectly honest, yes, South Carolina's won a couple, kind of similar to like what started happening with us in LSU starting in 2018, where you're starting to see the home team start to have the advantage at home. But even with all that said, with the upcoming schedule, with the way that they're going to reshake everything up, at the end of the day, A&M is only going to have max three permanent opponents if they go down that road, and South Carolina's not going to be one of them. A&M's going to be
Oh.
playing Texas. A&M's going to be playing. I mean, I think the confirmed one is for sure LSU. I could see if they expand it to two or three, I could see Texas getting in the conversation. And then they've also mentioned between Arkansas, Mississippi State. Personally, I would like Arkansas.
Yeah, I heard state, but
I would prefer to not have to play state every single year just because that's.
I will be so depressed if South Carolina is a permanent rival. Like
I
it's
don't think
just
I
not a
don't think they will
rivalry.
be. I don't think they will
It
be.
just makes no sense.
No, I don't think that will. It's certainly not geographic. It's certainly not historic by any means.
It's
I mean,
dumb.
the game goes back 10 years. They won twice in 10 years.
It's dumb.
Yeah.
There shouldn't be a trophy. They shouldn't be a permanent opponent.
The only reason we have a trophy is because the two governors were like, "Oh, hey, it'd be kind of fun if." That's all it
Yep.
was. On another question that we had. Oh, and what sports team do we watch now that all main ag teams are showing to be pretty bad? Hockey? Equestrian? Nottingham Forest continue their run for the Premier League and Champions League? So those were the other follow-ups he had. But I mean, hockey. I always liked A&M hockey. They split with Texas this weekend.
You know, you could not jump off the bridge and you could stick with football.
Yeah.
Just throwing that out there. And men's basketball again,
That'll
first
be
game
fun.
of the season. Buzz is notoriously slow starter, which is why I wish maybe the first game out of the chute would have been a little bit easier opponent. But I understand. I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem with the scheduling. I mean, losing sucks.
Yeah, just sucks.
You can always just follow baseball and softball in their off season, you know, in their fall ball.
Right. Which,
But
I
yeah,
mean, look good.
I'm not throwing in the towel on Aggie football just yet.
Or either the basketball program is, if we're being honest, there's so much to play for still. Wait,
Yeah,
wait.
they literally just started.
What are we doing?
So yeah. But yeah, I get it. I get like that was like we said, that's a brutal 48 hours, man.
It was.
But oddly enough, the sun came up, even though it's cloudy, you can't see it. The sun did come up.
The sun's starting to peek through over here,
There you go.
slowly.
So I think football's gonna be fine, all right. Bye week. I really hope that they implement some tight end play like we talked about. I hope they don't just flush that loss. I hope they really look at it and dig into it. And I hope the coordinators do so as well. I hope the coordinators spend three times as much in film as the kids do,
Well,
really analyzing what they were doing and why what they were doing went wrong.
we have way too much information to gather from this game to really analyze exactly what went wrong. And the beauty is you have this now where you can look at this whole game, see what went wrong, how they queued off, how they keyed off of us, both offensively, defensively, what we can do better. And now, the most important factor of this deal that we still haven't talked about today, everything's in front of us. We can still make the SEC title game by winning out. It's as simple as that, right? You go, you play New Mexico State next weekend, take care of business. Go on the road to Auburn. Once again, not going to be the easiest game on the planet because it's a road SEC game. Go out there and take care of your business. Then you get the exact same situation you're seeing in Death Valley this weekend, a play-in game for the SEC title game. Go out there and take care of your business against Texas and a team that, if we're talking defensive line, not really as worried about them. As far as their O-line, not really all that worried about them. You just got to go out there and do your job. But that's obviously coming up.
Yeah, everything's still in front of you. Yeah, that's the biggest thing, and that's got to be the message in the locker room. Yeah, losing sucks, man. Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah, no, nobody likes losing.
But you still literally control your own destiny.
Yep, absolutely you do. So, as far as this week is concerned, what we've got going on, assuming we all make it through the week, we're going to be sitting hopefully on Friday night in Huntsville, Texas. We'll be playing at the Jolly Fox, got a show out there, and then another thing at the M3 Ranch over there in Cat Springs. So we're keeping it pretty close to the house this weekend. Then we're heading out to Oklahoma the week after that. Plenty to do musically to kind of close out the year on our end. So we've got a lot of work that we got to get through. And
Yeah.
also positive notes at work. I've been picking up some new clients. Got a new bass student, new singer on Mondays. So we've been picking up more on that front. So if once again, if you know anybody that's looking to do voice lessons or bass lessons here in the BCS area, I'm your guy. More than happy to do some work with you. And we're really starting to pick up that schedule. So that's been nice.
Good. Yeah, that's good stuff.
How about you?
Yeah. Man, we're into November, and this is really we were talking about it before we got on. Before we hit record, still working obviously, but things tend to slow down. Obviously, right around the election, there's a little apprehension, and that's every year. The elections don't affect real estate near as much as people think they do, actually. But there is an effect. But once you get really, you hit Thanksgiving, between Thanksgiving and New Year's, very little occurs in the real estate market.
Right.
People aren't thinking about moving, around Christmas, over the holidays. And so it slows down. But what it is it's a great time to start building for the next year. So I'm working on my business plan, trying to figure out, maybe some new things to do. I'm actually going to start this holiday season, get started doing like some pop buys and bring some pies to some of my past clients and stuff like that. But yeah, just really, I'm starting to lean into next year. I hit my goal on Friday. I've got a closing, and that finishes out my goal. So,
Cool.
if anything does drop between now and Christmas, it'd just kind of be, gravy.
Icing
But
on the cake.
yeah, 100%. Bye week plans. I don't really have anything planned just yet. Look at the weather. I might try and sneak out and get a little fishing done. It stayed warm enough long enough. I can probably still get a little fishing done. So I might pop out there this weekend and wet a few lines, but. Other than that, I've got so many things to do around this stinking house. I don't know if I'm find time to go fishing. Yeah, just a lot. I can
Okay.
always find something to do in the bye week. I tell you what I will do. I will be watching Army play North Texas.
Absolutely. Did want to make a couple shout outs. Number one, Catalina Hatters. Big fan of those guys. So they're over in downtown Bryan. If you're looking for a custom shaped hat, they are excellent at doing that. I just ended up getting one of these on the side for fun, but do have a brand new silver belly that I broke out a few weeks ago when we were
Nice.
up in Stillwater. That was awesome. It's a great hat. They've done a lot of good work on that front. On a product front for Carson Jeffrey, got our hoodies
Oh,
this year
nice.
that I designed. Yeah, and then if you look at the, it's hard to tell, but nice graphic on the back that I also designed. So if you're looking for that, it's available on the website. Be sure to grab you one. It's gonna start getting colder, I promise. Go pick yourself up a hoodie if you don't already have one. We've been wheeling and dealing them. They've been selling like hotcakes. So that's been a
Oh,
good deal.
I do have one announcement. I'll make this again next week. But if you're local to BCS, so Bach Realty Group, we do this every year, and it's a big charity, a big huge charity event for us. We actually set a goal. Can't remember what the goal was as a team for donations, because every closing we do a donation, then just periodically throughout the year we donate to charities.
Right.
And we set our goal, and we already like smashed through our goal for this year, so we kind of had to like reset our giving goals, which is always a good feeling. But Sunday, November 17th, from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Pebble Creek at the Country Club. All right. We do, it's called Jingle Bell Market. And you can come out there and you can start get your Christmas shopping done. There's a bunch of vendors. Really kind of a unique array, but I always buy a crap ton of stuff there. There's this dude that comes out of, I believe, Tomball, and he's got like an Italian food market. So like you can get infused olive oils and all these seasonings and pastas and pasta sauces, but like knife makers and cloves and candles and Christmas decorations. And there's like a confection sweets and pies company. And we donate a ton to charity out of this. This is a huge charitable event for us. So just if you want to put that on your calendar, again, it's the 17th. It's a Sunday from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. We are selling raffle tickets. They're $50 a pop for a couple of things we're giving away. I'll highlight those next week, but the raffle tickets are $50. If you want to buy one, just contact me on social media, or if you have my number, I mean, you can just text me. But we're doing raffle tickets are $50. All the gifts, I believe, are worth $1,000 or more. So $50 for a $1,000+ gift or experience kind of thing that we're putting together. So, but yeah, Jingle Ball Market, I love it. I spend so much money this thing every year. So, I know I'm probably
Yeah.
supposed to work it as a member of Bach Realty Group, but I'm 100% a shopper at that thing.
I mean, take advantage of it, right? I mean,
Yes. And
seems like
it's a huge charitable event for us, so.
it's a big deal. Be sure to follow us on all of our socials. Be sure to go follow Roy May, 15 on Twitter, X, Roy May Jr. on Instagram. Be sure to follow me at Rob the Slapper on both. Be sure to follow the Red Ass Podcast on both if you don't already follow one or the other.
And share.
Yeah, be sure to share, comment, like, subscribe, all that fun stuff. Be sure to support all of that. And above all else,
Turn on your notifications.
turn on your notifications. Hit that little bell if you're on YouTube. In the meantime, though, if you have yet to go vote today, be sure to go out and do so if you have the ability. Be a part of the process. Make
Yes.
your voice heard. At the end of the day, that's the one thing that we can do as a citizenship to really tell people what we need and what we want. So go out there and vote. Be very proactive on that front, and just
Plus, if you don't vote, you don't get to bitch.
amen to that. That's like the one thing my dad has said time and time and time again. That's why you have seen me vote in every single election since I've been able to in 2012. So be sure to go out and vote. Make your voice heard. We appreciate you guys so much for listening in. We appreciate you guys sticking with us. Good weekends, bad weekends. It's always a fun time here on the podcast. That's what
Enjoy the
matters.
bye week.
That's right. Enjoy the bye week. I am Rob White. This is Roy May. We are the Red Ass Podcast. Take care. Beat the hell out of bye. Beat the hell out of the election. Gig 'em.
Yeah.